Hello, everyone, and welcome to Primecast. I'm your host, Emmanuel Class, and on this episode, we're bringing on some excellent guests to talk about Warcast Reorganized Play, the WTC, and Warfare Weekend. Matt Wilson wanted to be on this episode, but wasn't able to make it. But he'll be back next time with some big updates on what we can expect to see from Privateer at Gen Con, when we might expect to see Orgoth on the tabletop, and other new developments inside Privateer Press. And at that point, we might even be right in the middle of the upcoming Nightmare Empire Kickstarter campaign, so Matt should have lots of great things to share soon. With that, there's only one thing left to do. Roll the drums. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Primecast. In this first segment, we're going to bring on a community member who has recently got a spotlight on Primecast Plus for his Warcaster sourcebook, Jericho Reach. At the end of the spotlight, I briefly mentioned his community league he has crafted for Jericho Reach, and so we wanted to bring him on today to discuss the recent Kickstarter delivery for Warcaster 1000 Worlds, and welcome on John from War Budgies to talk about all the things he's got going on.
Thanks very much. It is an absolute honor to be on the show.
I'm actually really excited to have you on. You have great content. You're doing a lot of great things in the community. It's fantastic to see that level of content creation. So glad to have you here. As I mentioned, you just got your 1000 Worlds Kickstarter delivery. What are you most excited to pull out of that box?
Well, I'm still putting everything together, but I'll tell you, and it'll go against some of my ISA loyalties, but the first thing I pulled out was the Ranger Outrider.
Oh, snap.
Because he's a man on a dinosaur. Box is full of cool stuff that you cannot top a man on a dinosaur.
Man on a dinosaur definitely says sci-fi adventure. Has this new delivery shifted up your thinking, your tactics, your list yet?
It's very nice of you to assume I have tactics. In sort of an abstract way, because I'm a skirmish player mostly, The size of the cadre box really mixes up the skirmish thing, because that could be easily half your army if you want to bring
Absolutely.
It all at once.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to learn how the units work together, because you know you're going to be bringing them all at once, all together.
Mm-hmm.
So I look forward to that challenge.
Challenge accepted. With the 1000 Worlds book in hand, there's so much to digest. Did anything jump out to you right away as you're flipping through the pages?
I think we need another hour-long show for that one. probably the biggest, most pleasant surprise for me personally is the information about the ships.
Mm.
Is I am a sucker for science fiction ships, and there are these beautiful two-page spreads with schematics and concept art and the details, characteristics, and it just makes my brain incredibly happy to read that stuff.
Absolutely. It really feels like it connects you to being a Warcaster. For me, one of the things that was a concept leap from War Machine to Warcaster was the fact that you were the Warcaster, not the models on the table. And seeing the ship and conceptualizing the entire army, it made me want to like build a ship and set it off to the side and be like, that's my Warcaster.
Yes. And I'm already kind of spitballing how I'm going to manage to do that down the road. But
oh, snap. DM me. Let's talk details. I've been thinking too. I was thinking like foam cutting and all kinds of stuff. So who knows?
Well, in Jericho Reach so far, we've seen some fights on board ships, but I want to fight a battle literally on a ship.
That sounds epic. So speaking of the league, let's talk about that. If I'm a player just coming into Warcaster, explain it to me and tell me what we're doing.
Fantastic question. So the way this works is while season two is running, at the start of every week, I'll put out a battle report that sort of advances the story, and I'll talk about the condition of the world, because it's kind of being pulled apart by all four factions at this time. Mm-hmm. And then that week, individual players can go out, they grab their friends, play some games, take some photos or whatever, and document who won which games and send that in to me. And there'll be a sort of a point system involving some dice and a little bit of randomness, but the faction that does the best for that week will then control that sector of the Reach.
Okay, interesting. So what inspired this league?
Well, it's one of those things where the game's in a really cool spot right now, because we just got the 1000 Worlds lore book, which is just, as a complete lore hound myself, this thing is just chock full of information and story stuff and setting, world building. I love this stuff.
Me too.
So we're really, really breaking into the big world building. And it's a massive setting. I mean, the 1000 Worlds is not a misnomer at all. So what I wanted to do was kind of make one setting, one world, where we could focus on the small scale events, have all four factions at play, and give people a chance to dig in, settle the fate of this one world, and then branch into other stories.
Interesting. So how does one participate in the league, and is there growth to it?
There will be some. I'm going to put as few rules as possible on the size of the games and all that. There will be some custom scenarios, optional rules that I'll talk about each week, but those are entirely optional because all the stuff that I do is very narrative driven. It's not always balanced super well, but it's all for fun because that's my style.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about. And having played in several leagues myself, one of my favorite things is, the build up towards the end, things just get really super out of control. And so with a lot of participation, I could totally see the opportunity to branch into new worlds, to try new things, maybe even some ship to ship combat.
Yes, 100%. And I'll go and spoil a little bit for you. I'm already sketching out plans for how season three is going to escalate from this.
Ooh, spicy. I like spoilers. So, what's next on the horizon then? What do we have outside of the league? You have something else going on.
Yeah, so Warcaster season two is the big focus right now, getting that set up. That's going to be sometime in the summer. I'm thinking most likely July to September. We'll see how things go. And then after that, we're actually going to switch gears and do our first War Machine campaign, doing Oblivion Parts 1 and 2. And that will probably take me into early next year.
Oh, I am so excited for that. That's really cool.
I think it's going to be good. I have not done much War Machine content before, but I've been learning, building up the army quietly, and it's coming along.
Well, I have played every faction. I know every corner of the lore. If you want to talk War Machine, let's go. This is going to be great.
I am 100% hitting you up for that because I need it.
Next up in the Primecast episode, I'm bringing on Gonzo from Warfare Weekend and Lauren. And Gonzo had mentioned to me offline that you were running a narrative campaign.
Yes. So that is, we're still in the planning process, but Warfare Weekend should be taking place at the end of the Jericho Reach campaign. And I'm setting up to do a narrative event there for a small handful of players. And they're going to settle the fate of the Lawgiver, which in
Ooh.
Jericho Reach is the ISA flagship that's been sort of owning the planet. We're going to have a super narrative, super fun event where we throw down, and whoever wins gets to decide the fate of the Lawgiver.
That's sick. I'm hyped. Well, I'll be there, so we'll get to hang out and you can throw me into the mix.
Absolutely. I look forward to seeing you there.
I cannot wait to meet everybody there. It's going to be epic. As I alluded to just there, we're going to talk a lot about organized play this episode. We're going to dive into some of the conventions coming up and some of the cool stuff going on. And we're going to wrap it up with some WTC talk. John, any parting shots?
Fight for the Reach and ISA is best.
I don't know. As an Empyrean's player, I take some qualms with that, sir.
We'll settle that at Warfare.
Bet. Thank you for joining me on this segment of Primecast Talk Warcaster. Looking forward to having you on again.
Absolutely. Thanks very much.
You want to say roll drums?
Roll drums.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back. In this segment, I am joined by a very special guest, WTC Belgium committee member and team captain, Tim.
Thanks, Emmanuel. I'm happy to be here.
Tim, why don't you start us off by telling the listeners a little bit about who you are and what you do?
So I'm Tim Bossuyt from Belgium. I won't fault you if you can't actually pronounce my last name. I've been playing War Machine since Mark One. I've always really played, though I've dabbled a bit in Infernals in the recent years, but the Call of the Dragonfather has always lured me back. I've been running some events, especially the last couple of years, to keep the scene going in Belgium. I've also joined the Fishcourt crew, so it's a Discord server, to organize some events, and I've been playing in them, especially during the pandemic. That was really great. And recently, I've co-organized the Belgian Masters, which was in March in Belgium. We had people from all over join us. So that was really great. I also
Awesome.
try to travel to events, especially to neighboring countries. And recently we've been to the Welsh Masters, actually, which was also an amazing event.
That sounds amazing. And as a Crix player, a man after my own heart, and an Infernals player, I've got both sitting on my shelf right now. You have to be hyped for the Nightmare Empire stuff too, right?
I am. So yeah, I am very interested in all of the new stuff coming out, but I apparently haven't been keeping up enough with all the stuff about the Nightmare Empire for the Iron Kingdoms RPG, so I have to go look into that. But the Orgoth also look really cool, and I know lore-wise, Crix has stolen a lot from them, so mm-hmm. I'm really wondering if maybe there would be some tie-ins, but a man can hope.
It definitely seems like it. You know, there's definitely some War Witch vibes there and such. And if you missed it, go back to the recent Primecast Plus. We talk about the Nightmare Empire IKRPG Kickstarter. And we show off in this last one a really beautiful picture of Torok. And he's blasting this boat with his dragon fire, just kind of smiting some pirates who didn't want to bend the knee. And it's breathtaking. And then in every Primecast Plus so far, I think we've spoiled some art from the Nightmare Empire's IKRPG. So if you're a Crix player, check us out on YouTube. Go watch the Privateer Press Primecast Plus. Hear me talk about how much I love Crix.
I'll do that.
Awesome. So to get us back on track after my little Nightmare Empire tangent there, when is the WTC this year?
It's going to be 7 to 9 of October. In Belgium, of course. Mm-hmm. Traditionally, it used to be in September, but for people who have been keeping up, we've had some difficulties because normally Poland was supposed to organize it this year, but they had some difficulties with that, and thus the event has come back to Belgium.
Awesome. Well, you know, everybody that I've talked to really enjoyed going to Belgium, and so I'm sure they're excited to go back.
I hope so. We have a lot. It's at the same venue as we had it last time, which was really great. It's large enough. We have plenty of space for people and plenty of rooms. It's really close to the Belgian coast. So it's the Floreal Hotel in Blankenberge, same place as last time, as in 2019. Awesome. And I hope to see a lot of people there again because it's a really great venue.
That's fantastic. It sounds like a lot of fun. So what's it like being there? What is it like being at a WTC event?
It's actually kind of hard to describe. I mean, team events have become more and more popular at other cons as well, so I assume people know how that goes mm-hmm. these days. But a five-man team event is still something special, and it really feels more like a sports event because you try to win the round with your whole team, and there's a lot of stress and excitement about a single people winning or losing their game, and it all comes down to the wire about who wins the round, and it's really a great experience.
That's awesome. So we talk a little bit about the team mentality there. What's it like being on a WTC team?
Well, that's also kind of hard to say. In a way, you're kind of the competitive elite of a country, but you know, especially in a meta as small as Belgium, that doesn't really matter because I think if you put everyone that plays around here together, you can fill a few teams. But we're also kind of mostly on the same level. But it's just really great to be there and to meet all these people coming from all over the world to play all the games mm-hmm. that we all love. Just meeting them. And actually, a lot of people seem to think that it's all cutthroat competitiveness at the WTC, but that's not true at all. Many teams just make it into a holiday and are there to have fun and meet new people. Of course, the people that go undefeated after day one, for instance, they keep going at it, but it's just as valid to go for some giggles and to have fun in your own way.
Absolutely. A War Machine holiday sounds amazing. So as a captain, how is it coordinating a team? Does a lot of prep go into it?
It's not actually so bad as you would think. So there's, of course, a process where we select the teams, and then you have to do some administration to get them going. It's mostly about agreeing on who plays which faction and which casters, although we try mm-hmm. not to to interfere too much into that, because, of course, the main goal is still to have fun, and you'll mm-hmm. always play better with casters that you're used to and that you find interesting. So we just try to make sure that we don't have any glaring holes in our lineup. And then most of the work is actually on the weekend itself, because you have to run around with the results and make sure everyone starts and ends in time and stuff like that. But it's really a lot of fun. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Absolutely. One of the best experiences I had for a team event was prepping for the ATC. We had a meeting of minds. We got to sit down and talk about like our own little microcosm of who was playing what and what matchups we would cover and what we were confident in and why we were confident in it. And then that led to other discussions like, oh, well, then my faction can actually do that and cover that in this matchup, you know. And we learned so much from each other just by having that think tank. And so anybody that has the opportunity to participate in one of these, I highly recommend it, just because I think it will grow a lot as a player to not just focus on your game, but to be able to talk about it in a very kind of scientific, competitive way where it's, let's talk about the process. Let's talk about why we make these choices.
Exactly. Very well said.
So how many WTC events have you been to so far?
All of them, actually. So since 2013, Whoa. When it was the very first time in Belgium, it was literally in a cabin in the woods.
I heard that. People,
yeah, still a lot of people came from all over.
Sleeping in the mud and, yeah.
It was amazing.
Hardcore WTC.
The only event where I wasn't on a team was actually the one in Ireland. I think that was 2016 or maybe 17, because I forgot to sign up on time. I was constantly putting it off, thinking I still had time, and then all of a sudden they announced the teams and I wasn't on it. But then I went to the Solo Masters, which is also really great, actually. And the venue in Ireland was also amazing. I'm kind of sad that it has never been there again.
That's awesome. Well, maybe next year. Who knows? At the end of this, going to Ireland sounds super sweet, too.
It is. It was really great.
What do you have in store for players that are coming to Belgium?
It's a bit of the classic event, really. We have up to 64 teams, of which currently we've had 50 slots filled. So there is still some space for people that are getting enthusiastic or riled up from listening to this. And for now, we're keeping the solo event at 32 people. And that one is actually filling up already. But we're reserving the first pick for reserves for the teams. But there are still some slots available if you just want an excuse to hang out with the international community in Belgium.
I've heard a lot of players that go just for like solo masters or to go to hang out for the experience too. And that sounds like a lot of fun.
I can only recommend it. If, I mean, teams, the team events is the real deal, and I can only recommend that more. But if you can't make it onto a team and just want to go, like I said before, the venue is great. You can make it into a War Machine holiday because Belgium is actually very small, but it's also the city is close to Ostend, Bruges, Ghent, and even France and the Netherlands are really close. So if you want a kind of base of operations to visit Central Europe, you couldn't find a better place.
Amazing. Well, I love to give the opportunity for shout outs when I bring people on to Primecast. And so is there anybody you'd like to give a shout out to, people you expect to see this year, you're hoping to see this year?
Well, mostly the people that I don't see often. Like I said, I'm on the Fish Court team, so we organized some events, but I actually got to meet the whole crew at the Welsh Masters last month.
Awesome.
And for the rest, there are a few people like Julien Lesage, who used to play for France, but as it's a few years, he's moved to the USA. So it'd be great to see him again. And a few years ago, actually, I met Brad Park online, but I've never actually met him in real life. So it will be amazing to finally meet him at the WTC. And then there's a few people that I've met over the years, like Brandon Owens.
Yeah.
Machmucha. But basically all the lovely people that I've met over the years and that I haven't seen in years now, it will be amazing just to see them again.
Absolutely. You know, I met Brandon Owens, I think it was at LVO, and I ended up playing him in a match. And as soon as I set my stuff down, I looked across the table and I said, I just want you to know after this, we're going to be friends. And that was the first thing I ever said to him. I'm so excited for the WTC. I'm so excited that so many awesome people are going to get to connect from so many different countries and be part of the global community that we have. And there's so many awesome people in it that it's a little party of some of the coolest people in that community, all speaking the same language, all talking about the same things, excited about the same things.
Yeah, it really is. The War Machine community is really the best I've ever seen because I think it has something to do with the rule set and people kind of all have the same or similar vision. on the game. And most of the games are always clean and everyone's having fun. And it's really just down to the wire who wins. And that's really great. I actually met Brandon specifically at the last WTC.
Nice.
Because he asked on Facebook if someone was in Belgium available to go play somewhere. And we started talking and we actually went against with a few other people just to play games with them.
That's awesome. And that's exactly what it's all about. It's about making those friends and then reconnecting and not letting anything stop you. Not borders, not distance. Even now we are podcasting, 8 hours, 9 hours apart, something like that.
Yeah, 9 hours apart, I think.
That is crazy. But we're being brought together over something we all love, which is the War Machine and Hordes game. So super excited to have shared this with you. Thank you for coming on. I have some parting shots. What team are you most worried about this year? Who do you have in your crosshairs? Who's under the radar?
Well, it's kind of hard to say because the lineups aren't final yet. But the USA and Canada, Australia, France, and Germany have always traditionally been very strong.
Oh, yeah.
Poland is also very strong, but in their own way. They tend to bring lists that you think, like, what are they even doing? But for some reason, they're masters at it and they kick everybody. So that's also kind of scary. But
absolutely,
mostly everyone that's going there has some chance, of course. And these are just the ones that stick out for me.
I think that's one of my other favorite things to mention about going to conventions, especially to something as global as this, is you get to really see people's metas up close and personal. You know, when you go and start talking about why people see the game through that lens, sometimes it's because a certain player or a certain faction in their area is really prominent. Sometimes it's because of the way that they all approach the game together. Hey, this is how we see dissecting it. And sometimes it is just that group of players has, like you said, practiced and gotten really good at their craft, and they come in and they show everybody exactly what their meta does, which is play hard.
Yeah, and that's really amazing.
It is really amazing. And it's cool because it's great to see that there's no one way of doing it. No matter how many times I've gone to conventions, no matter how many times I've played games with people, even ones that think exactly like me, we're still going to have differing opinions. We're still going to see things in a different way. And that's how you grow as a player, is to get to see it from a different lens.
For sure.
Any parting shots? Anything you want to say in closing?
Well, like I said before, we still have spots available. So if you are getting excited for this, don't hesitate to sign up. You can find us at wmhwtc.wordpress.com, where you will find all the information needed. And also, we're actually looking for someone to host again next year. We haven't had a lot of applications yet for that. So if you would be up for that, you can always reach out to us or Christophe Dirks specifically, because he's been with us basically since the beginning. So he has a lot of experience with that. And it would just be great to see as many people as possible there, just to bring everyone together again. I know it can be a bit scary financially as well. And it's kind of a leap of faith, but it's such an amazing experience. I can only recommend it.
WTC at my house? All right, let's go.
One more thing. I don't think we have an official streaming crew yet. So if anyone would be up for that, we do provide room and boards for a dedicated streaming crew. And it would be really great to have the streams available for people to follow at home. So do reach out to us if you're up for that.
That would be amazing. That would be stunning. I would be so excited to see a streaming crew get out there and help the rest of the world participate and see the WTC. This is our Olympics, really. This is the Gaming Nerd Olympics. And so who's going to be Channel 5? Who's going to be the news crew that gets out there and does the coverage? I hope it's you. Well, thank you, Tim, for joining us on this segment of Primecast to talk about the WTC in Belgium in 2022. I am really excited to see how that event goes.
You're very welcome. I'm super excited for it as well, and I hope to see everyone there.
Roll drums. Welcome to the next segment of Primecast. In this segment, I'm joined by Lauren, Organized Play and Playtest Manager.
Hey, everybody.
Our special guest for this segment is none other than Gonzo, the guru of Warfare Weekend.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Thank you both for joining me today. We're discussing Warfare Weekend and the Iron Gauntlet Championship. I think it's best to kick off with Gonzo to tell us what Warfare Weekend is and why we should all attend.
So Warfare Weekend is a gathering of players. We host pretty much every single game that Privateer Press has, plus some different formats. We have quite a few things that, you know, we get your competitive side where you can do the Invitational and you can play the Last Chance Qualifier. We also have this year, we're going to be doing a 3-man team tournament hosted by the Minority Report team. We're also going to be doing a Combinat format that people have requested. We have our ever popular Colossal Wrestling late at night that people love to play.
Nice.
And then one of the other things that I'm really proud of is having War Budgies come out and do a narrative event with the Warcaster game.
Awesome. But
I mean, we have a tournament of every type. We have a Riot Quest one. I'm sure we're going to have some RPG going on. So, you know, we have every single game system that Privateer Press is playing at the convention.
That's fantastic. I am really hyped up. There isn't anything I don't want to dive into. I didn't hear anything about Monster Apocalypse.
We will have a Monster Apocalypse tournament. And of course, there will always be the Iron Arena so people can get pick up games of whatever they want. We'll have scrambles of all those games also.
That's awesome. I will definitely be there playing and giving demos with the breadth of my entire Monster Apocalypse collection. Lauren, you've been to a couple Warfare Weekends, have you not?
Just the one, actually.
Oh.
This last one, 2021, was my first Warfare Weekend ever.
So. Do you have a favorite memory from the weekend?
Well, I mean, it doesn't get better to watch, because I didn't get to go to Las Vegas Open this last year, but watching everyone come together for like the first time since COVID, it was beautiful. Just watching the community come back together. Everyone was so excited to play games, and just seeing that, it was a great memory. It's fantastic.
That's awesome. It definitely gives you the warm and fuzzies to see everybody again, especially people you haven't seen in a long time, right?
Oh, yeah. Got caught up with so many people.
That's definitely the best reason to go to a con. So, yeah. Gonzo, I'm almost afraid to ask your favorite memory as the progenitor of this event.
I've got to go off of what Lauren said. Last year, when we were at the convention, there was people that they got together and was like, hey, let's go play in a scramble. And as soon as the 8 people got together, they decided not to play, but sit there and talk and catch up. Mm. And they just sat there and was like, I had so many people come up to me after playing or just, you know, everything's one winding. And they're like, Gonzo, thank you for having this. I needed this more than anything. I've only played a few games today, but I got to catch up with people, say hi to people. Thank you for putting this on. And that's my favorite memory, is just people coming up and, you know, being happy to socialize and hang out and just be with good people again.
That's awesome. You're giving me goosebumps.
It's just my favorite part of the game in a lot of ways is just the community itself and the connectivity we all have in what we share in this game. And I'm just so glad that we got that back again. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it's very important to a lot of people.
It's true. The gaming community has its own level of camaraderie, right? And it's nothing like it. You speak your own language. You have your own things that you want to reference back to or be able to share with somebody. And there's really nothing like it.
No other game I could think of, you know, wherever I moved in the United States, I could find a game night and, you know, having friends spread out all over the country and being able to meet them at the conventions has meant a lot to me personally. I know that for sure.
Oh, yeah. So. Especially when you only see like person once or twice a year.
Oh,
and it's like, yeah, it's like a homecoming in a way.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I too have had to travel a lot and change locations for, I don't know, I guess the last decade, right? And when you go, you see groups of people that are from, oh, those are my West Coast friends. Those are my East Coast friends. Those are my Midwest friends. And seeing everybody in these little pods of people, it's so great to connect. I don't have any Warfare Weekend memories yet, but I do have a ton of Lock and Load memories. I always love that event. It's, you know, the Privateer premiere event. And I was at the first year for Iron Gauntlet. And those were some of my favorite memories is, you know, everybody coming together for such a big event and having all of the focus and competitiveness that kind of event could breed, but also the level of sportsmanship that was brought to it was next level. And it made me realize just how important of an event it was. And then it's just continued to grow over the years. And this year, we're moving the Iron Gauntlet to Warfare Weekend for an interim while we don't have Lock and Load. So, yep, that's right. IG will be at Warfare Weekend this year. Lauren, do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. It's been a couple of years since we've been able to host an Iron Gauntlet. And so the first thing we considered was, well, everyone who qualified or has points from 2019, they definitely get to bring those points over. So this is going awesome. To be just the continuation of what 2020 should have been. We're reclaiming 2020. But also there's Iron Gauntlet qualifiers going on right now. We have one at Nova Open, one at Gen Con, of course, and I believe Michigan GT is going to have a qualifier as well. So if you're still hunting for points, there's definitely time still to get your games in and qualify. I'd love to see everyone there.
Me too. So Gonzo, this will be Warfare Weekend's first time hosting the Iron Gauntlet. What are your thoughts on this?
I was actually pretty ecstatic when they came up and asked me about it. And they were like, we need to do this. We need to get this one under our belts and get it done. And I was like, bring it on. Come on in. We sat and worked around so we, could make sure it didn't interfere, that people that, would want to play in that could still play in other things. And we worked up a really good schedule so people could play in that in the Invitational and get it going. But it'll be really nice to see. I mean, we've got some stuff set up. I know that we're going to be doing some streaming of it so we can get people to see those games and hopefully have some really cool terrain for people to see.
That is excellent. I'm so excited that we're going to be streaming that. Are we doing any special preparations for this, IG?
Well, I do want to touch on one thing to make sure that it gets through is like the Iron Gauntlet and the Invitational that usually takes place at Warfare Weekend are definitely both happening. And the schedules have been aligned as such that you could participate in both. We're not trying to one-up either event. These things can live in harmony and we're very excited to do so. But as far as preparations, yeah, we have some ideas for some terrain. We are definitely going to try and get back into streaming. That was something I know me and Gonzo have been talking about and been very passionate about getting going again.
100%.
Awesome.
And there's a lot of people that like that, that like the idea that they could watch games even though they couldn't come.
It connects them to the global community.
Absolutely. And we definitely want it to make it feel as big and grandiose as it does at Lock and Load. So you're going to get the same experience at Warfare Weekend that you've been getting at Lock and Load this whole time. So great.
It is great. So one of the things I do love to talk about when we talk about conventions on podcasts is to talk about con prep. Everyone has their own ritual, getting ready, all the things that we have to do. And all of us here have to also coordinate things for conventions. And for you, Gonzo, you have to coordinate the entire event. So what is it like getting ready for Warfare Weekend for you?
Now it's crossing the I's and dotting the T's, as I call it, because I like to do things backwards. Got to make sure that, all the clocks have batteries, making sure that, everything's been sent to me, make sure all the mats are ready, coordinating all my team, make sure the social media is up to date, and make sure tickets are going fine, all that stuff that you behind the scene that people usually don't see, and checking in, because I also try to make sure that Privateer Press has got all their stuff ready, and they do a drop ship and we make sure that it's taken care of. And I don't live near the convention, so I have to I've got a 6-hour drive to it, so I count on my people that are living there to get things done. But outside of that, what do I do to get prepped for it? Tons of social media posts, seeing who's coming, who's bringing what, paint all my army that I can paint up, try to work in a few games, make sure I get social time with people no matter what, and try to schedule some food and relaction with people, because I guess we only see these people maybe once or twice a year, and I'm going to get in as much time as I can with these people.
I think that definitely goes back to the best part of every convention is the people and getting in time with people too, right?
100%.
Oh, yeah.
So what about you, Lauren? What's your con prep like?
Well, there's always two parts to it. There is prepping for Privateer and there's prepping for my own games. Packing my bag has always been a ritual of the month before, getting as much painted as possible. And then all my stuff exploding all over the floor so that I can pack it up into one little itty-bitty bag for optimal carrying capacity.
Yeah.
And that's its own kind of chaos. And then there's doing the same thing, but for the demo bag, and making sure all of our scripts and demos and pieces are all there, and then inevitably lose them in TSA. just making sure that working with John to make sure the pre stuff is all taken care of, make sure the palettes all ready to go. Yeah, it's a process. It consumes the 2 months beforehand, it seems like, every time getting ready. So
without a doubt, getting ready for conventions is always an extensive process for me. I'm laying everything out, having my little packing slip, going item by item, and knowing that every single thing on that list is in the bag. And then I will most likely at some point have to take it all out because I've changed my mind last minute. And there's something that has to fit in that now will no longer can fit in because of all the different things that have Rubik's into there. And I do it again.
It's the worst.
It always happens. And then most recently, we started the Kaiju Classic, which is our Monpok event that travels with me. So when I go to a convention, I take all these trophies with me, and then people get their name on the plaque and get to, you know, be honored in this Kaiju Classic trophy system. And once we've collected all the plaques, we're going to invite everybody to come back and play for the trophy and take home the trophy. And they're massive, right? My painting trophy is an actual tree that somebody made with a King Kong holding a paintbrush. It's massive. It's super cool. But if I have to fly anywhere, it's got to have its own special crating and special like packing in there. And
shout out to our affiliate. My Magnarack system is a godsend for traveling to cons. I don't know about you guys. I don't know what you guys use exactly as far as small scale stuff, but I love those small scale backpack bags with the Magnaracks. It makes it so much easier.
So I have my main Hordes bag, and then I have 1, 2, 3, I'm looking at it now, 4 small battle foam bags that I transport. And so each one of them, like my big Hordes bag is whichever War Machine or Hordes army. And then one of them is a Warcaster bag. One of them is a Riot Quest bag. One of them is a Monpok bag. And depending, because like when we went to Las Vegas Open, I brought my entire Monpok collection with me just to show off a bunch of the models. And like, you know, if someone wanted to play, I have a whole army at their disposal. Go play. And I don't know that I'm ever going to do that again. That was like 5 bags of models. What was I thinking? Well, I drove to that con. That's what I was thinking. I was like, no problem getting it into the car and getting it to the con. But what I didn't think about, right, is that where the parking garage was from the actual event hall was hike. And so I had layers of bags. So there's me in the trunk, right? And I'm in my mind, I'm putting it all together, putting the puzzle together. And I'm like, okay, so I put this bag on, that strap on, this one goes in the front of me, that one goes in the back of me, this is going on top of that. And you look down and there's like one like map that is a neoprene map that's way in the back, that's rolled to the back of the trunk, and you can't reach for it because you've got bags on every side of you like a giant bumper. And so you have to take it all off again to reach for the one bag that fell all the way to the back to do it all again, and then walk like the forever mile through the casino to get there. But it was worth it. Every minute of it was worth it because we did demos from sun up to sundown every day, and I met a ton of amazing people. Some of them I just made friends with. Oh, we'll be friends. You like the stuff I like. And that's what conventions are about, right? Meeting strangers and being like, you like the thing. I like the thing.
We like the thing together. Want to play it?
Forming those connections, what it's all about. You can tell I did a stint in community management, huh?
Gonzo, is there anything you want to talk about? Any parting shots? Anything you want to pass on about the convention?
I just want to thank everybody that works on the convention. I mean, it takes a big crew to pull this off, and without them that would, you know, this is not going to happen. But if you want to play any Monpok, Warcaster, Riot Quest, War Machine and Hordes, and you want to play as many games as you can get in, this is the place to do it. We run small scramble 8-man tournaments nonstop. You have the Iron Arena. You can play pickup games. There'll be, if you tell me that you did not get enough games in, you did not play. You will be wore out by the time you get done playing War Machine and Hordes and any type of Privateer Press game.
Oh, without a doubt. And then on to the festivities that happen afterwards.
Well, we do have a big social hours. Everybody gets together. There is a bar we can have and hang out. There usually is a good drawing painting party. We do have a hobby lounge this year, an official hobby lounge where we will have people. You can paint and do any model you want. We also will be having our house wars again this year. And so you can compete to see who's going to have the t-shirt design for the next year. And you can paint up models, cosplay. Anything you do at the convention helps that out.
There's so much fun things you can do there. It's a blast.
Oh, we have a surprise coming up for a secret fourth house coming that you cannot choose to be joined into that house or choose that house. You get conscripted into that house.
You are press ganged into this house now. You work for me.
Yes. And they have special rights at the convention that no one else has.
Oh, snap.
We're not ready to announce that just yet.
You get to help clean up. You get to help break down. You get to help pack the truck. There's so many things we can do with conscripts. I mean, participants in this house.
Okay. It'll be interesting because they will actually get a special prize and you will not find out if you're in the house until you pick up your badge.
Interesting.
Interesting.
So it's a luck of the draw kind of situation.
Pretty much. We'll be as the few nights before, I'll print off all the badges and a select few people will get to have a special patch and we'll find out if they're in the they're conscripted into the new house or not.
Gonzo, put me in the special house. I don't know who would want to participate in that. Anybody would just be crazy to want to wear a special badge. So anybody who gets one can just give it to me, I guess.
Anyways, think that's how it works, Emmanuel.
That's not how it works. Darn. Oh, I had my hopes up. So, Lauren, any closing statements about organized play for Gen Con, which is right around the corner?
Oh, yeah. We are super excited about Gen Con. We are going to have our Iron Gauntlet qualifier. Of course. We also have some other stuff we're cooking up. but we are all looking forward to seeing everybody at Gen Con. And just we're getting back into the convention grind, everybody. I'm excited to be there all the time. Let's go.
Absolutely. I'll be there too. So I will see you there and we will get some games and have a good time.
All right.
Well, Lauren, Gonzo, thank you for joining me on this segment of Primecast to talk about Warfare Weekend, the Iron Gauntlet, traveling to conventions, and so much more. It has been a blast, and I can't wait till the next time we have you both on.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Emmanuel.
I appreciate it.
Now roll all the funny sounds that Gonzo has made that I have pre-recorded.
Puppy power!